Hey, Bobby, this is at Blue Jays Dad.
What's up, man? How's it going?
That's going pretty well. Hey, thanks a lot for doing this.
Yeah, no problem.
This is has the potential to be very fun, something to listen to while the world is crumbling around them.
Yeah, exactly. I'm pretty excited for you. It's gonna be cool for sure.
Baseball fans, welcome to Try Easier, the baseball podcast hosted by Twitter's one and only at Blue Jays Dad. For years, Blue Jays Dad has been a mainstay in the baseball Twitterverse,
live tweeting and hot taking
the ups and downs of Canada's team while remaining engaging and, for the most part, friendly to fans of the opposition. The jump from the tweeted word to the spoken word is a courageous leap baseball's internet dad is willing to take for the good of the game. And now, the host of the Try Easier podcast, Blue Jays Dad.
Thank you very much, Tim Langton. Hello, everyone. I'm Blue Jays Dad, and welcome to episode number one of my new baseball podcast called Try Easier. My first guest is a very special one. His name is Bobby Kay, the brother of Toronto Blue Jays pitcher Anthony Kay. I spoke with Bobby just after Major League Baseball had announced its operations had been indefinitely suspended due to the growing coronavirus pandemic. We talked about his college baseball career, his recent trip to spring training, and his projections for the 2020 season. I mean, if there even is one. Spoiler alert, he thinks Bo Bichette is really good. Bobby even gave some advice to my 14-year-old son regarding how to put his best foot forward when making the jump from travel baseball to high school baseball. We spoke about ketchup chips, too. Even though we had some recording quality issues, Bobby Kay's voice shines in our conversation. He just sounds like a ball player. Now, without further ado, let's talk baseball. Hello, everybody. This is at Blue Jays Dad. You may know me from Twitter. This is episode number one of my new podcast. And my first guest I have with me today is Bobby Kay, the brother of Toronto Blue Jays pitcher Anthony Kay. And Bobby, I'm just so excited that you agreed to be my first guest. Thanks for doing that.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Great. Well, I think the timing of this podcast launch is the timing is timely because of what's going on in our world right now. And I didn't want to talk about the coronavirus, in episode number one, but that's what's happened in the last few days is that the Major League Baseball has suspended its operations indefinitely. And Bobby, what was your take on that when you first got the announcement?
I kind of figured it was coming. I mean, they canceled the NBA and they canceled the NHL. So the next step was to postpone baseball. So we all saw it coming. It was just a matter of whether they were going to keep the players at the facilities and keep them, in shape, well, baseball shape, or whether they were going to send them on their way. And it looks like most of the players from around the league are agreeing to stay at the facilities and, keep working out between their teams.
Wow. Yeah. I heard that as well. And I mean, what do you think, by the time, who knows what the time frame is of what has to happen first in order for there to be, a hard launch of opening day, right? I mean, a lot of things got to fall into place when it comes to the spread of the coronavirus and all that. But for the players, now that they've kind of had spring training come to a halt, what would you say, like, even if they keep working out on their own, what would you say is, the amount of days or weeks that they would need to get ready into opening day shape once the go-ahead is given? Like, okay, we know what opening day is, or we can set those dates.
how much time do the players need to get into game ready shape?
Well, everybody's pretty, I mean, the main thing is the pitchers, right? To get their arms ready so starting pitchers can go, you know, 5+ innings. So if they stay in shape, and I would think about 1 to 2 weeks, probably 2 weeks would get the pitchers a couple starts, and then they'll be good to go.
Great. Well, that'll be interesting to see. Actually, on my Twitter, I did do a little bit of a poll wondering, you know, I mean, it's a total guess, right? It's like the hottest of hot takes, but when people will think that opening day will actually happen. And whether that's, you know, best case scenario, I think would be May, even if that. But yeah, it's interesting times to have such a void, a sports void in society right now.
Yeah, exactly. And what a perfect way to fill it with the little sports podcast.
Hey, thanks for the plug. So in this episode, Bobby, I just wanted to go through, talk about a little bit, obviously about Anthony, but I also wanted to talk about your career as a pitcher. And, you know, it's many boys, girls dream to be successful in a sport and to go to the highest level. And it's I think, you know, now with this day and age, with all the information we have available, I think people are more aware now of what that journey takes and the what am I trying to say here, just the elite level is incredibly difficult to get to. And you know, what was your journey? And you came through, obviously, playing as a kid. What was your high school and college ball days like? And what was your, what were some of the challenges you faced on that journey?
Yeah, so going from, I think, 9th grade to 10th grade, so 15 to 16-year-old, I pretty much went from throwing about 80 to 86, and I put on like 3 or 4 inches or whatever. So
wow.
When I was a sophomore in high school, I made the varsity team, you know, 10th grade. And my school's baseball program, which was also Anthony's, it was absolutely terrible. We haven't made the playoffs in 25 years. And all it takes to make the playoffs is to go .500 on Long Island. And we were just bad for 25 years. And my first year on that team, we made the playoffs for the first time. And we lost in the first round. But, you know, it was still an accomplishment because the program is so terrible. But then, you know, it started to turn around and we made the playoffs a couple more times. And we didn't win anything, but we definitely turned the program around for and led the way for kids like Matt's and my brother. But then I got recruited by a lot of schools, you know, local schools on Long Island. And I wound up choosing Long Island University, actually over Binghamton. Those are probably my last two picks. And, you know, I got a little scholarship to play there. And, that was basically how my high school career went. I was all county my senior year, so that was pretty cool. But then I went on to college. And my freshman year, I was actually starter right away because the program at Long Island University, we didn't have a senior pitching staff. So as a freshman, I started, cracked the rotation by earning my way through fall, you know, basically fall baseball, which doesn't count for anything besides trying to prove yourself. And my freshman year, I think I was just absolutely terrible. The whole team was terrible. We were like 13 and like 30, but I was especially terrible. I was like 2-5 with like a 6 ERA, something disgusting. You know, I was like a 18-19-year-old kid, 160 pounds soaking wet, throwing decent, 88-90, but you know, just absolutely terrible numbers. And then sophomore year, we actually had a pretty good season. We won 30 games, really turned it around. We almost went to regionals. We lost in the championship, so that was tough, but we started turning the program around. And then junior year, was my good year. It's when I things started clicking, you know.
And what made it click? What was happening?
I think it's just, you know, the confidence level, the experience of facing these hitters that, you know, are better than high school hitters. Basically, in high school, you face 2 to 3 good hitters on a high school team. You know, most of the lineup, it's just not good hitters. You know, 5 or 6 through 9, they're just bad. But when you go to college, you know, you're going to experience facing 7 good hitters. Maybe they have 1 or 2 bad hitters on the team. So I think I learned to pitch way smarter, and I really utilized. I threw a splitter, which was my main out pitch. So junior year was pretty good. We actually wound up winning the conference and making the regionals for the first time in like 20 years as a program. So that was pretty special.
Wow.
And I was All-American that year. I was actually leading the I was second in ERA in the country through like 11 starts. I had a 1.3 ERA. And we make our way up to regionals, and we play in this park, which is an absolute bandbox. It's Franklin Pierce. I don't know if you ever heard of that college. The stadium is small, and these guys are just the powerhouse of Division II of the Northeast at the time. And we faced them the first game because we were the 8 seed and they were the 1 seed. And they must have beat us like 20-3 or something like that. And it was like a shell shock. Like, we were so happy to make it a regionals, and then we show up and this team just destroys us. So then I was pitching the second game, and, you know, I was all cocky, and I thought I was the man. I had a 1.3 ERA, and I faced Bryant University, and they lit me up. I think I went like 2 or 3 innings. I left like 7 runs, and my ERA went from like 1.3 to like 2.1 or something. And I was like, oh.
So what did it feel like? I mean, obviously, it doesn't feel good. But, you know, you're on the mound. Like, was it just like, were you having the thoughts of like, man, I can't throw anything that these guys, anything in the zone that these guys are going to miss or hit weakly or what?
Well, when you're on the mound and this is happening, you kind of just want to walk away, but you have to keep pitching. You're just waiting for the coach to take you out.
Right.
And I was out there and, like, you're embarrassed. So you like, you feel like your face being red and how angry you are and you can't make it stop. It's like a weird feeling.
So are you one that would keep looking over at the dugout to see if you're going to be taken out?
Well, it was a two loss elimination bracket. So after we got spanked 20-3, the first game, we didn't really want to even be there anymore because we knew we had no chance against these guys.
Right.
But, you know, it's not like I didn't try. I still went out there. I was trying to throw a gem. And, yeah, so I guess it was the second inning, and these guys are teeing off. Like, I throw a splitter in the dirt, and this thing, they hit it over the center field fence. I'm like, what the hell? They must have had a good day or something. I had a bad day. But, yeah, I was definitely, like, waiting for somebody to start warming up and looking at my coach like, all right, man, it's been a good season. Let's wrap it up and go home. You know?
Oh, man, yeah. So I'm just realizing that one thing I didn't ask you about earlier is what's the age difference between you and your brother, Anthony?
So we're 8 years apart. So we never growing up, we used to play baseball in the backyard and stuff and video games. But like hanging out wise or whatever, we were just too far apart.
Right, right. Did you kind of blaze a trail? You're talking about like the different programs maybe that got improved and having someone that's kind of gone that down that path a bit. Do you feel like that was a part of your impact in his life?
So the main thing was I went through, you know, travel ball and college recruiting and everything. And we learned from my experiences, you know, my parents and whatever. And by the time my brother got there, they knew who to go through for lessons. What's the best travel team? How to handle the college experience? Because for me, it was, you're just kind of thrown out there and it's like, what do you do? I was visiting colleges that I had no intent of going to, but I felt like it was the right thing to do, out of respect for some of these coaches on Long Island that I knew. But when my brother got to that spot, it was like, you know, it was pretty set in stone, and he knew what he wanted to do right away, and there was no messing around.
Right, right. That's an excellent, advantage to have, right? Someone who's already gone down that trail that can give you some wisdom, insight into that process.
Yeah, well, it also helps that he was, like, probably the number one recruited pitcher on Long Island. So, I mean, guys were kind of flooding towards him, so he was able to pick the school that he wanted. And, he wanted a big-time school, and he wanted to be semi-close to home. So UConn was a perfect fit.
So you can't take all the credit.
I taught him everything he knows, but I'm not going to go there, you know.
So you mentioned playing through college, and you did play through your senior year. Let's talk a bit about right now what we're seeing on social media, on the Twitter, with different senior college players grieving the fact that the College World Series has been canceled for this year. Tell us more about, like, what's in the head of these players that have just experienced such disappointing news.
All right, so I'll talk a little bit about my experience as a senior. I had a decent season, and we made it to regionals again. And the thing that these kids aren't going to experience is basically, like, knowing you're playing in some of your last games. So when we went to regionals, we were playing at Yale, and I was pitching against Dominican College. And I knew, I was like, this is probably going to be the last time that I ever pitch on a baseball mound for, you know, unless I want to continue afterwards. But I knew it was the last time as a college athlete. So I really went out there and I gave it my all, and we were able to win that game at regionals. So that was like a really good feeling to be able to do that and, you know, kind of solidify and end my career that way. And I decided not to pursue baseball after that and, you know, get a job or whatever. But these kids, they lost that ability. And, you know, this from senior day when all these parents show up, and it's such a good feeling to have everybody there to watch you for your last home games. And I feel bad that they're not going to be able to do that unless the NCAA steps in and gives them that year of eligibility and they come back. But most of these kids are going to graduate and move on to the real world. So it definitely stinks that they lose that possibility.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, that is. So many people affected. I mean, obviously, these things aren't the top concerns, but they're still real, right? They still impact people's lives and they change things. So, yeah, thanks for that perspective. Great. So, my son, he is 14 years old, and would you have I call him C5 on Twitter. C is for his first initial, and 5 is that he's my fifth of 5 kids. And so he's 14 right now. Advice that you would give to someone, you know, coming out of middle school, he's playing travel ball this year, but, you know, heading into high school soon, advice for just what to work on, how to improve, what would you say?
I think the main thing is you're going to have your ability that's going to be there. And the thing that's going to separate you from everybody else is how hard you work during practices and during training. So when we used to run, pitchers, they run a lot. It's what we do. We don't have much to practice on. They say, go run 5 miles, and we run 5 miles. My thing would be, I see people being lackadaisical. They're not, you know, trying their hardest. To get a step above, you have to really put your best step foot forward during practice. And that also includes things like fielding practice and, you know, your bullpens. Now, what position does he play?
He's a pitcher and a middle infielder, just like his dad.
Just like his, it's perfect. So, sooner or later, he's probably going to have to pick whether he wants to play either or if he plans to play in college. But for now, you know, like I said, take more ground balls than anybody. When you're taking ground balls, you know, give it 110%. Don't be lackadaisical during your practices, because it really shows in game. And most coaches would rather have somebody who's hustling 100% of the time than somebody who's just a tiny bit more talented, you know?
Right. Right. Excellent. Well, I'll pass that on if he refuses to listen to this episode.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. but hey, so this might be a good segue into your spring training trip that you recently took. But I asked C5 if he had any questions for you. All right. So I have this one, and that is, have you ever got to have the bubble gum out of the dugout? You know, they have like the big bubble gum.
I do. I've never had it from the dugout. I mean, I've had double bubble before. It's delicious for like a good 30 seconds, but I've never had it from the actual dugout.
Okay. Well, there's our first question, right on. So let's go into spring training. Now, with spring training coming to a halt, I had one follower on Twitter. Maybe I should just do a search for her handle just so she can get some. but she had a heartbreaking experience. Okay, it's MN, like Minnesota, Daisy Bell. And her initials are KA. She just went to spring training to see the Twins. And it was something like, I don't know, you know, a number of hours or whatever before the game started that everything came to a halt. It was her first time going to spring training.
And damn. Man,
so that just sucks. That's what that is, right?
For sure.
So, but there's a number of other people that, you know, did get spring training in and are kind of thanking their lucky stars they went when they went. But you went to spring training, and this is your first with your brother being with the Toronto Blue Jays organization, with your brother having what he got into 3 games last year. Is that right? Two starts. What do you have? 14 innings pitched, 13 strikeouts in that time. And he got his first major league decision, a win. And so what was it like for you to go to spring training? With the Toronto Blue Jays organization and having your brother vying for a place in the starting rotation?
Yeah, so it was, you know, it's always exciting to see him out there on the big league hill. And it's kind of surreal. You don't, like, I'm used to seeing him in the minor leagues and in college, but out there with the big boys is a incredible experience and pretty nerve-wracking. So my main thing for going down there, because me, my mom, and my sister, we basically make it an annual trip to, you know, to go watch him. And I have two goals when I go down there, and it's number one is get on the beach and have some drinks, and number two is watch him pitch. So
right.
I fulfilled those two.
You got your priorities.
Yeah, that's all I need, and I fulfilled those two obligations. And I'll tell you what, Clearwater Beach is a great beach. And we were right on this strip with all these bars, and it was a great place to eat dinner and hang out. And even better, Anthony pitched great. He pitched 2 innings, struck out Miguel Cabrera, which was pretty awesome. And it was just a great trip overall.
Yeah, and striking out a guy like Miguel Cabrera has got to be awesome, because that's someone that you watch when you're growing up, right, for Anthony, right? That's someone that guy's on TV.
Yeah.
And now I'm on TV.
He's a legend.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, you hear all the time about, you know, the athletes and the fans, and they're always asking for autographs and everything. So I always like to bust his chops about it. So when we, for the last game, his girlfriend and my sister, my mom, they wanted pictures, you know, by the field with him. So the girls kind of held us up, you know, they take a little while to get ready. I'm good after a shower and throwing some clothes in 5 minutes, but they held us up. We got to the stadium about 20 minutes past 12:30. We wanted to get there at. And so they thought Anthony wasn't going to be available. So they're like, we're going to go to the shop and get some shirts or whatever. I'm like, well, I'm going to grab a beer and go down the right field line and see, you know, everyone's still warming up or whatever. So I go down there, and of course Anthony's there waiting, and I was like, well, they're in the shop, so I don't know what to tell you. And he's like, well, I'll see you after the game. But then you really get a sense of, like, because, you know, we were kind of in the corner. It's hard to explain. I went down there, and you really get a sense of what the players go through because, you know, I just said what's up to them for, you know, 30 seconds or whatever. And then as soon as we were done talking, you had 30 people going, Anthony, Anthony, and, you know, shoving balls in his face. And he's getting ready for game time. So I was like, all right, I guess that's what they go through every day. But, yeah, it was pretty funny that they asked for these pictures and they went to the shop instead of just checking it out. And,
Once again, priorities. Seems that that runs strongly in your family.
Yeah, the shop's not going anywhere, and he's got to get ready for the game. But, yeah, let's go to the shop.
Oh, that's great. So how long were you down there for spring training?
We were down 4 days, yeah. So originally we were going to go Saturday to, I think, Wednesday. But his start aligned on a Friday. So after wasting about $500 or whatever, we moved our trip that week to Thursday to Sunday. So, yeah. 4 days.
Awesome. And were you able to get a sense of the team, of the clubhouse? What's the vibe around the Blue Jays team right now?
Well, before all this started, I think there was a great sense of excitement. I mean, especially for, you know, the position players. What's cooler than playing for those De Guerrero, Biggio, and Bichette on the same team? I mean, that's pretty awesome. And they all get to do it together. And, you know, all their dads were major leaguers. And then you had, you know, I would call it a friendly competition, but you're still fighting for a job for starting pitching. You know, that fifth spot's pretty open, but I think we can all agree that it's Thornton's right now, but they're all kind of battling for a position in the starting rotation. And that competition only excels people's pitching ability because they all want to do the best they can because they want to be on the team. So
right.
It's definitely a good environment, but you know, it's very exciting for what they have going on as an organization.
Right. So when it comes to Blue Jays spring training, how many other spring trainings has your family been to? You mentioned it's kind of an annual trip, but I guess, like, what's different? What sticks out to you as a highlight of the Toronto Blue Jays spring training experience?
We went to, you know, Mets last year in Port St. Lucie. And I can tell you right now, the area around there is terrible compared to the Tampa area and Clearwater. It's just such a nicer area. But other than that, the only difference was there was no Tim Tebow hype going around at the Tampa Bay. You know, you got a guy who's a great guy, unbelievable guy, but, you know, not the best baseball player. And every single fan, when you go down to the Mets side, is Tim Tebow. Where's Tebow? They have Tebow jerseys on, and all these other players just say, you got like Jacob DeGrom right there, and these guys are like, where's Tebow? And they're like, what? What do you mean? So that was a little funny when we get down there and everybody was asking for Tebow, but that was quite the experience.
That's awesome. So any other highlights of your spring training trip?
We had a, if you don't mind me, I can't remember his name. Who's the Blue Jays play-by-play announcer? Do you know?
Buck Martinez.
Yeah. Buck Martinez was sitting right
what?
Behind us.
What? Oh, my goodness. Okay. Okay. So next, you know, if we ever run into each other in person, I need to touch your hand. Because you were so close to Buck Martinez, like, okay?
You know, I'll introduce myself.
Was he having a good hair day, would you say?
He looked phenomenal, you know.
Okay, right on. Did you get a chance to chat with him at all?
Well, people were coming up to him, so, you know, I just introduced myself. They were because it was the day my brother pitched, so they were talking about him pitching when he was on the mound, so we were able to, you know, talk a little bit, but there were some people coming up for autographs and stuff, so I was trying to let him be.
Yeah, he's a hot signature.
Yeah, yeah, he seems like a really nice guy.
Yeah, he is. He's really been with the Blue Jays organization, you know, from not from the very beginning, but from early on. You know, the club started in 77.
Yeah.
I forget when his first year was with the Jays, but it's got to be late 70s.
Yeah, sure. He had quite the career.
Yeah, he has. And, you know, for me, it's going to be a sad day when, you know, when he's no longer the one calling the games, because there is a lot of history there. And, you know, I mean, Twitter, you know, they have fun with people's fumbles and bumbles and all that. And they're talking, and just like anything, right? I mean, you put yourself out there, you're not going to be perfect. You're going to have the, you know, different things you slip up with and whatever. But I think sometimes with Twitter, that stuff gets more accentuated than it deserves. But I love Buck Martinez. I really do. And anyway, it'll be a sad day when he retires from calling games. We're going to go into the seventh inning stretch here of the podcast, and I have some favorite questions for you. So the first question about your favorite is, what is your favorite baseball video game of all time?
All right, there's a lot of pressure, but I'm going back to my childhood days on a Super Nintendo, and I'm gonna go with Ken Griffey Jr. Baseball on that one.
I'm
sorry if that's wrong.
You know what, that's okay. That's, we'll give you a very good on that answer. So what was it about Ken Griffey Baseball that you thought was awesome?
I just remember, you know, being a little kid growing up and playing that game for hours on end, and it really was like the only like good baseball game out, so that was the go-to for a while.
Awesome. Okay, well, very baseball question.
Wait, you're not gonna give me the right answer?
Oh, that's actually an upcoming episode of this podcast. So, okay. So I made a connection this week when I tweeted about, you know, my favorite baseball video game of all time, and don't even think of adding me, you know, about it. But it's RBI Baseball with the original Nintendo system.
Yeah, that's a pretty good one.
Well, the graphics are horrible, but it plays really well.
Yeah.
And that's what I like. I mean, the power is a little bit if the stadium was a bit bigger, then the power numbers kind of would be a bit better. But of course, when you're playing a video game, especially in the 80s, like you want like easy power, right? But when actually turning double plays, gunning the ball, things like that, the timing is just amazing. And anyway, so that's my favorite. And I had a whole league with my friends that I would keep track of our stats. And if only my math teacher could have like channeled that in my life to, I'm doing batting average. I'm doing ERA. I'm doing all this stuff because back in those days, Bobby, the computer games didn't crunch all that for you. You had to have a pencil, a paper, and a calculator. So
what are those things? I don't understand. What's a calculator? Yeah.
Well, I'm glad that I've started to make this episode about me and not about you. That's like a classic what a host is supposed to do, right?
Okay, keep it going.
So next favorite, what is your favorite baseball song of all time? And I guess what I mean by that is, what's the song that amps you up for baseball when you hear it?
I mean, the baseball thing is country music. So whenever whenever we would do our, you know, pregame warm-ups in college and everything, we would pretty much do all country, you know, a little bit of chicken fry kind of deal. And that got us into the mood of, you know, ready to go.
Excellent. Excellent. Okay. And then one more favorite question. Now your Twitter bio, which is at BK. So B, letter B, and then KKAY zone. You have New York Yankees friend, Toronto Blue Jays family. I think that's just such a lovely way to put it. Okay.
Thank you.
but this next favorite question has to do with, what is your favorite major league ballpark? And it's okay to not say the Rogers Center, because for most Blue Jays fans, that's not their favorite, their most favorite ballpark. But what's your favorite ballpark? And this is a judgment-free zone.
Okay, so yeah, well, it's not Yankee Stadium, so don't worry about that.
Yankee Stadium. Okay, getting ready to hit the edit delete button.
Anyway, okay. Yankee Stadium is actually pretty boring and not very fan friendly. But I'll tell you what, from the ones that I've been to, I went to Cleveland's stadium for the All-Star game, and that place was awesome, man. I can't say enough good things about that. But I don't want to admit it, but it might be Fenway, and I hate the Red Sox, but what an iconic stadium, you know? It's it's got everything. That's probably one that I need to check off the bucket list soon and go there ASAP.
Yeah, me too. I'm into that. I haven't been yet, but I do need to go. You know, for me to bring this back to me again, Bobby. I live like a 23-minute drive from Target Field.
Yeah.
And that is pretty special. Like, I'm very pumped about being here in Bloomington and Minneapolis. And, but that stadium is just incredibly simple. There's so much about it that I like, to the point where you drive into the parkades right off the interstate.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Like, you pick one of three exits and you're in. Like, when I, you know, in Toronto with the Rogers Center, I'm sure you've been, right? Have you been to the Rogers Center yet?
I have not been yet, no.
I just got
my passport. I'm ready to go.
Hey, right on. You're taking steps towards that goal. That's great.
Yeah.
But it's mayhem down around the stadium before the game. And, you know, you could be stuck forever getting out of there. But when the Twins game is done, you hop in your vehicle and you're out.
Same thing for Yankee Stadium. It takes you hours to get out of that thing if you don't park, you know, down the and walk like 20 minutes. So,
right. Okay, well, let's a little segue here into the upcoming season. Who knows how long or short, or even if it will happen. But let's segue it with that favorite ballpark question and say, do you have any plans to go? You mentioned getting your passport for Rogers Center. Any other ballparks that you're thinking of going to this upcoming season, if obviously the season actually happens?
I guess my number one priority would be to go to the Rogers Center. That's the top of my list. And I've been to Camden Yards before, Yankee Stadium, obviously. I would really like to make my way to Fenway. That's probably number two. And then possibly something on the West Coast. I have a few friends out in the Washington area that are they're going to the Blue Jays against the Mariners game, you know, later on in the year. And they were messaging me, you got to come out for the game. You got to come out. So if I can make that trip, I definitely would.
Oh, that's so worth it. You know, you've probably heard it said, it's like another home game.
For the Jays. Yeah, yeah.
And I just, you know, being a Blue Jays fan, and I respect the Mariners, you know, I do. I lived out in Washington for 4 years. So yeah. I respect all that. I got good Mariners friends. But it's hilarious how resentful the team is towards the Jays fans coming.
Oh, really?
Like, they talked about, like, different, like, we're going to buy all the tickets and give them the charity. You know? All this stuff. And
it's pretty good.
So, okay, upcoming season. I was going to ask you about win projection, but that doesn't make any sense now that we don't know how many games are going to be played. I saw someone on Twitter say the other day that, oh, baseball needs to be shorter anyway. They just need 126 games, even if there is no suspension of activities. And I'm like, no, don't like that. Don't like that. But let's go like prorated over 162. Okay. Let's just say we're playing 162 games. What do you see the Jays, maybe a realistic window for wins this year?
I was setting the goal at 81, and I think that would be a good jump from last year. So I was hoping to see that.
Okay. Who do you think is going to have the maybe a breakout season or the most improvement from last year's squad?
As much as I want to say Guerrero, I'm going with Bichette. The kid looks amazing, so I think he's going to be the one to watch this year.
So you think he's going to take it to another level, or do you think, or are you talking about just him maintaining that over 162?
I think he might make the All-Star game if he can play up to his abilities.
Starting rotation.
Oh boy!
I saw your tweet. I think it was you that was talking about, like, it's not really a battle for the fifth starter because you have like so many different starters you're going to use that year. Was that you? Was that one of your tweets?
Yeah. I was quoting a article that I retweeted. Yeah.
Okay, cool. So what's a way to ask this question? I guess I want to know, do the Jays have a starting rotation that can take them beyond 81 games potentially?
So we could start the top with Ryo. He's the clear number one. He would be a number one on pretty much, you know, every team except for a couple. And then you go with, I think these guys can flip-flop anywhere, but Chase Anderson, Tanner Roark, Shoemaker, you know, those guys I think are pretty much set in stone where they are, you know. They're basically four ERA guys, you know. They're going to give you 6 innings, 3 runs, or 7 innings, 3 runs, or whatever. That's pretty much what they do. Pretty solid pitchers. So, I mean, with the offense we have, I don't see why we can't win a lot of games with those guys. And then I think the fifth spot was Barucki?
Yeah.
How do you say Barucki? I think he was locked into the fifth spot, and feel bad for the kid because he's run into some arm problems for the past couple of years. But now with the experience that Thornton had, and you know, he really stepped up last year, we're gonna give him the five spot to start the season. And I think he's as good as a five starter as any team has. So when you compare their rotation with, I mean, we're not going to say the Mets because the Mets probably have the best rotation in baseball. But if you compare them to most teams, I think they can compete with pretty much anyone, especially with their lineup. Once their lineup gets more experience, that's really all they need. They have the talent. So once they get more experience in the league, I can't see them not really being a playoff contender for years to come.
Well, that's exciting. You just won a lot of points. You probably just got like a lot. There's going to be so many more Jays fans following you. If they listen to this and they hear that, they're going to be running to their phones and like follow. And I did want to give you a shout out. Once again, it's Bobby K, and your Twitter handle is BKAY Zone, BK Zone. And for people to follow you, because I think you're a great follow.
Thank you.
I think you handle Twitter really well. You know, Twitter is a strange beast, isn't it?
For sure.
It can give you these like wonderful dopamine hits of like, oh, I got a like, I got a retweet, I got, you know, all that. And then it can just like devour you.
Exactly. I know. It's dangerous.
It's a dangerous place. But Bobby, you belong there, man. You belong with us. We are happy to have adopted you into the Toronto Blue Jays family. And
Thank you.
Yankees friends too. So, you know, we're good. We're good on that. So just, you know, just as we're closing out here, we'll just close this out. Anthony, okay, your brother coming to the Toronto Blue Jays, a part of the Marcus Stroman deal. Controversial at the time, right? You know, because it's Marcus Stroman. And, you know, at the time we didn't, you know, have many starting, you know, we were lacking starting pitching. And so there was, it was a controversial shift right there. But I just want to say that I think Anthony Kay and yourself, but your brother handled it so well. And, you know, I don't know the behind the scenes of what the psychology is like when you're coming into a new organization and you've just been traded for, you know, one of their top guys. I can't remember if he was like the only All-Star that year or something, but, you know, awesome job by Anthony. I'm specifically thinking of just how he engaged Blue Jays fans on Twitter. And yeah. Remember he was sent like Canadian food care package or something?
Yeah.
I actually have a few of those stats down. He did rank ketchup chips a 4 out of 10.
Hated those. I think the aftertaste or something, he says.
Have you had ketchup chips yet?
I haven't, and I haven't had the old dressed, which is he's the one he's what do you give a 10 out of 10 on those or something?
He did. I've just checked with my statistician, and he did give a 10 out of 10 on
checks the out.
It does, it checks out. And my daughter, who I refer to her as H3 on Twitter, she says that they actually sell All Dressed now here in the U.S., at least in Minnesota. And there's a big stamp on the package that says from Canada or something.
Where's she hide these things? I got to go check them out.
I know. Yeah, you got to. Well, we'll see if we can hook you up, man. We'll see if we can hook you
definitely.
Up. Definitely. And so anyway, just anything. Has Anthony felt well received into the Blue Jays organization?
Well, yeah, you guys were awesome on Twitter. I mean, right away, you guys embraced him. Besides a couple knuckleheads that had some bad comments. I mean, I get it because, you know, Stroman was, your go-to guy. And I understand that they were mad because when you trade your all-star, you expect all-stars in return. But that's not always how it works. So they got two solid prospects, but nobody knows about these prospects. So it was all right that they were pretty angry at first, but I think they're seeing their return. That Anthony came up already, and I'll tell you what, Simeon Woods Richardson is going to be a beast of a different breed. He has a great arm, so I think they'll be pleasantly surprised when he matures enough.
Well, I just wanted to say, Bobby, thanks for being on my podcast, episode number one. I can't speak for every knucklehead on Twitter, but I'm very happy that the K's are a part of the Blue Jays family. And so thanks so much, Bobby. Thanks for your insight and your stories and just being a part of what we're doing in our fandom.
No, thank you so much for having me. It's an honor to be wanted to be on your first episode. And I'm excited for you to continue to do this podcast, and you definitely gain a listener, me for sure. And I hope everybody is able to listen to you because you're very knowledgeable and insightful.
Hey, wow! Can we get that like on like the back of an airplane, like bringing that across the stadium? Anyway, no, that's great. Thank you, and I would love to have you again in the future.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. Well, thanks, Bobby. All the best. Enjoy the rest of your Saturday, and we'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good. Have a good
Bye-bye.
Day.
Bye-bye.
I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Bobby K. He was the perfect guest to help launch this podcast. Speaking of helping launch this podcast, you can too. First of all, you can hit a single by subscribing to this podcast wherever you get your podcast from. You can drive a two-bagger into the gap by sharing the link to this episode on social media. Also, you can stretch this into a triple by leaving a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Or you can hit a walk-off grand slam home run by supporting this podcast for as little as 99 cents per month. Visit BlueJaysDad.com for the link to do so. Thank you for listening. Until next time.